Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on a Sunday night. And the Gift of Grace is a ministry where we read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And it's great to be here on Sunday nights, always is. And for the last couple of weeks, of course, we've been talking about the resurrection. We are still in the season of the resurrection. And if you are following along at home, last time we talked about the power of the resurrection and how the resurrection was the ultimate sign that Jesus is who he said he is and is the ultimate sign that his sacrifice was accepted by the Father for atonement of our sin, the blood atonement that is predicted through the whole Torah and prefigured through the whole Torah. And as he himself said, he always began with Moses and the prophets. And showed how everything there applied to him. And all those prefigurements, especially, you know how it is when people start to read the book of Leviticus, they get pretty grossed out by all the blood and the sacrifice and the animals. But the purpose of all that was to show that sin is very ugly business, and that because of sin, something or someone has to die. It's either you or someone who substitutes for you. And the Torah points that out very vividly. And the reason it bothers us so much to see that is that God is trying to show us in those books, especially Leviticus, that sin is serious business and it's going to take an ultimate sacrifice to fix this problem. So, as we talked about during the Passover teachings and the Holy Week teachings, was that the reason Jesus came was to be the blood atonement. The book of Leviticus says by blood is atonement made for sin. And later, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And we've, of course, lost all concept of that in our society. And in my opinion, this is why coronavirus is here. And this is why this pandemic is still going on and will be going on. And when this ends, there are going to be worse things that are going to come, but that's a subject for another show, and you can I'll refer you to my YouTube teachings. If you want to go to the YouTube channel, it's One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries, One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries, and please subscribe if you go there. So Paul talked about how the resurrection was the ultimate sign, because if there was no resurrection, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight, if there was no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. And even worse, we're still in our sins. Because if there was no resurrection, we have put our faith in a dead man. We've put our faith in a dead philosopher. We've put our faith in a dead superstar, to quote from a rock opera, who died, and then that was the end of him. And so we're the most pathetic of all people because we've put our faith in a dead person. And, you know, Jesus did not come to have a fan club. He's not looking for people to kind of, you know, work on them to better their lives and kind of supplement what they do in their lives. He came to save them. And the resurrection is the ultimate proof of this. And tonight we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, because this is just really an awesome passage. And I'm just going to read in chapter 15, starting at verse 12. I'm going to read 12 through 19, and then we're going to talk about it. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Whoa. So what's Paul saying here? He's saying that if there was no resurrection, so apparently he was preaching to people, and even he's writing this letter to believers in Corinth, and apparently some of the believers in Corinth were questioning whether there was a resurrection or not. And he says, well, okay, some of you say there was no resurrection. So if that's the case, then number one, our preaching is in vain. We're just preaching nonsense. Number two, your faith is in vain. Number three is you're still in your sins. And number four is you're the most pathetic of all people for putting your faith in a dead guy. So when you look through this whole chapter, this is basically what it's about. You know, Paul talks about how he had preached the gospel to them. He preached it consistently, constantly, always the same. Remember, he writes to the Corinthians in the very first chapter, I only know Christ and Christ crucified. I only preach Christ and Christ crucified. That was his constant preaching. There was no deviation from the cross. The people there had accepted it by faith, and they understood that there was no other name and no other plan. And some people must have come forward then and started to doubt the resurrection, or they were listening to people who said, this sounds like nonsense, because after all, the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. We already did a few radio shows and a couple of One and Messiah teachings and some YouTubes on that. But Paul had preached them the basic gospel. And, you know, like you always hear me say, in our time, the gospel's been hijacked into a number of things. The latest thing is the environment, because this is what the demonic kingdom wants to do, wants to pervert the gospel. So while you're so busy worrying about the earth and recycling your stuff and making sure that your pop cans are in the right container, you think that you're doing good doing that, and those are good things to do, but you think that you are having eternal consequences doing that, and you're not. And we also live in a time of the gospel of nice. As long as you're nice to everyone, as long as you're tolerant of whatever anybody does, that's what God wants you to be. There are religious leaders, we're going to get to that probably over the next few weeks, that say, well, all religions were created by God for the same purpose. Well, if that's the case, then Jesus was a liar. And we all might as well pick up our marbles and go home, because then I guess you can do anything. You can follow anyone. But Paul preached the basic gospel. You know, there's a great Greek word, the kerygma. The kerygma. It's the nucleus of what we believe is the gospel. It's the nucleus of the Christian faith. That God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son, not to kind of entertain us and give us something to think about, but to die for us so that we can be saved. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead as proof that his sacrifice was acceptable. This is the kerygma. This is the basic gospel. And Paul, being a Pharisee, knew that, well, he knew as soon as the gospel was revealed to him on the road to Damascus, and this was pretty extraordinary, but as soon as that happened, he immediately would have made the connections with everything that he had learned, everything that he had studied, everything that he had taught in probably, I don't know, 30 years, 20-some years of being at the temple since his bar mitzvah, studying under Gamaliel. So, you know, he talks about eyewitnesses that had actually seen Jesus after the resurrection. Different places, different people, you know, 500 people in this one place. There's witnesses. He said, and finally, he was seen by me. So Paul, well, Saul of Tarsus, actually saw the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus revealed the truth of the gospel to him in such a powerful way that he understood then that he was the chosen vessel to the Gentiles. Now, Saul of Tarsus, as the most rigorous of all the Pharisees, as he tells us he was in Galatians chapter 1, would never have even talked with a Gentile, let alone been in close proximity to one. I mean, you talk about social distancing. They wanted nothing to do with Gentiles, and for good reason at the time. But Paul says, I got called in a different way. I saw the resurrected Jesus in a different way than those other guys. And he says, everything I did before doesn't matter to me now. You know, in Philippians, he talks about, in chapter 3, he talks about how everything that he knew before he counts as loss. Loss. He counts it as rubbish. He counts it as rubbish, all the things he knew before, compared to knowing Christ. And this is why the demonic powers of our day are taking us on this little ride, just like Satan took Eve on this little ride. Well, he may have said that, but that's not what he meant. Now, come on. That can't possibly be true. How can that possibly make any sense to you? You're a pretty smart girl, Eve. I can't believe you haven't figured this out. You're a pretty smart guy, Fred or Bob or whoever you are. Satan says, does that make any sense to you? Come on. Look at all the big issues we have. We have social justice. We have environmental issues. And so our minds get diverted from that kerygma. Paul said, nothing matters to me anymore except Christ and Christ crucified. You know, he goes on to say that he doesn't even deserve to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church. But then he says, that's what I'm called as. I'm called by grace. That's what I am now. And he even adds in typical Pharisee fashion, I've done more than all those other guys, but that's okay as long as you hear the gospel from somebody. And so whoever preached to them, so especially let's talk, finish with Paul, when Paul preached the kerygma consistently and powerfully, and it was accompanied by signs and wonders, people believed it. And they understood that this was important. So he goes through this very logical argument in that passage that we just read. So some of you don't believe there was a resurrection. So if there was no resurrection, then Christ was not raised. Right? This is a logical progression. So if that's the case, our message is foolish. Our message is empty. Our preaching is empty. We're false witnesses and we're preaching a lie. So either we are totally deluded into thinking that he rose, or we're telling a deliberate lie and making the whole thing up. Those would be the main possibilities. I had many very nice Jewish people that I've witnessed to over the years that have said to me, well, you know, those guys that hung around with Jesus, they wanted to have their own religion. And that's why they did this. And they said, you know, he died, he rose, and he was God. And it's just nonsense. I say, well, that's interesting because every single one of those original 12, except for John, was martyred in a horrible, brutal way. And the question I would ask these people is, would you die for something that not only you knew was wrong, you had made up. Who would die for something that they made up? So if there was no resurrection, we're telling you lies. We're false witnesses. And we're deceiving whoever's listening to us. We would have no foundation of truth. This whole message would be false. The whole message would be a lie. And the gospel would be a lie. And he goes on to say, if Christ was not raised, so if there was no resurrection, we are still in our sins. As I mentioned earlier, the reasons. Because that would mean his sacrifice was not a true sacrifice, was not acceptable to the Father, did not atone for sin, and was not a fulfillment of the Torah and the prophets and the Psalms. Jesus said, all the scrolls are about me. So if there was no resurrection, none of that is true. So we're still in our sins. So we're still in our sins, number one. We have not, death has not been conquered. So in other words, we are still under the sentence of spiritual death. Forget about physical death. We're still under the sentence of spiritual death because no sacrifice was made for us. So if that's the case, then we have to go back to the law and do the best we can following 613 laws. And if you do the best you can, you won't be saved, because if you violate one law, it's the same as violating them all. So every law has to be kept perfectly every single day of your life if Jesus did not rise, if he was not raised. So we would have absolutely no hope of anything. Our hope would be lost. And so he says we would be the most pathetic of all people. Because, you know, think of it. You'd walk around saying to people, can I tell you about Jesus? You know, he was this really good teacher and then he died. Do you want to join our church? And people would look at you and say, no. As opposed to what Paul told them, that you have no possible way of saving yourself. You don't go to heaven by being good. You go to heaven by what Jesus did for you on the cross. And that he died that horrible death. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered sin and death. Remember, we talked last week, and I don't remember if I was just thinking about in the book of Hebrews, where it says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And in chapter 2, the writer tells us that Jesus had to share in our human nature in order to conquer death. He had to physically die in order to conquer death. So he physically died. Divine Jesus can't die. But physical Jesus of Nazareth physically died. And then on the third day came out of the tomb. So death was conquered. And as a result, we know that on Friday, the preceding Friday, when he bled and died, sin was atoned for by his blood. Capital H, capital B. And so the Torah is fulfilled and the prophets are fulfilled. And the resurrection is the proof of that. And then Paul goes on to say in that same chapter that we talked about this a little bit before, that Jesus is the first fruit. The first fruit. The day of the resurrection that year was the Feast of First Fruits. It's one of the seven feasts of Israel that all foretell of Jesus. They've all been fulfilled except for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, when the trumpets are going to blow. And that's going to be when he comes back. Then that'll be fulfilled as well. But the first of first fruit, the Feast of First Fruits, was the barley harvest started to come in. And you took the first ripened kernels of barley, and you don't eat them, you don't make flour out of them, you take them and offer them to God. In other words, you take your first fruit and you offer it to God. And God tells them in the book of Leviticus, and it's actually mentioned in, you know, all the books of the Torah except Genesis, of course. God tells them that if you do this, the rest of the crop will be blessed. The rest of the barley crop will be blessed. So the point that Paul is making here is that Jesus, as the first fruit, he's the first because he's the only begotten Son. There is no other one like him. He's the monogenes in Greek. And he offers himself to the Father. And because that offering is accepted, then the rest of the crop, meaning us, meaning his followers, meaning those who have accepted him as Lord and Messiah and have repented of our sins and have wanted to follow him, we are blessed like the crop of barley was blessed. So he tells us that by man, meaning Adam, death came into the world. So we all die because of Adam. You know, if Jesus comes back tonight, and I hope he does, if Jesus comes back tonight or next week, most of us will not physically die because we'll be caught up with him in the air. But chances are we are all going to experience physical death because we don't know when that's going to happen. So death came by a man, Adam. Now man with a capital M brings resurrection from the dead. And death is conquered. So we die because of Adam, but we're made alive by Christ. Adam made us mortal. Jesus makes us immortal. So how awesome is that? And this is the point that Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthians and by extension to us. Because after all, we need to learn this too. It isn't just the Corinthians that were having trouble with this. It is something that we, understanding the gospel, understanding the kerygma, this is something that we have to grasp as well. Because this is part of the saving gospel. God sent his only son, born of a woman, born under the law, as the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, came into the world to offer his life as a blood sacrifice so that our sin can be atoned for and so that the promises made in the Torah and in the prophets can be fulfilled, can be realized, can be completed. And even goes as far as rising from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits to tie that all together. Really quite amazing. And when, this is why I always tell you, when you study the Old Testament, well, I should say when people tell me the Old Testament's boring and they don't want to learn about it, it makes me crazy because when you tell them Jesus rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits and that this fulfills this amazing blessing of when there's an offering made, and in this case, he was the offering, the whole rest of the crop, which is us, is going to be blessed. Now, I don't know how anybody can think that that's boring, but anyway, in any event, it's important to study the word because it makes your faith so much deeper. So when Paul tells the Corinthians, I talk about Christ and Christ crucified, and that's all I want to talk about. When he hung around with people, that's what he talked about. He didn't want to talk about the baseball game. He didn't want to talk about how the virus was doing. He didn't want to talk about how the stock market was doing. He wanted to talk about Christ and Christ crucified as the only way to salvation, and that he rose from the dead as the ultimate sign that his sacrifice was accepted. So I think that's pretty awesome. Whew. Well, the music's playing already, and I better be quiet. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and I hope you think about these things and read some of these scriptures. And we'll be back next week and continue this. So have an awesome week.